You know, all good things must come to an end. We're on our last sermon of the Christmas at the Movies series. And so, but this is exciting. Let me recap so we can kind of see every. So the whole purpose behind Christmas at the Movies was to take our blockbuster movies that all have a central theme about Christmas, but they all fall short of explaining the true reason behind what's happening. And so we've been bridging that every time with the true story of Christmas to help us see and answer those questions. So here's a recap of where we've been, just so you know how this has flown. We started with the Grinch. And the Grinch, in the movie The Grinch, the central theme was a changed heart. On Christmas Day, this little Cindy Lou Who changed the Grinch's heart. We started with that movie. And the second movie we went with was Elf. And Elf was about Buddy the Elf, who discovered he was human, not elf, and so he made this journey to New York City, to his own family, to find out his true identity, and he found out his true identity on Christmas Day. And then the third movie that we covered was A Christmas Story, and The Christmas Story was all about the greatest gift you can ever get on Christmas, the Red Ryder carbon action 200-shot range model air rifle, and that greatest gift comes on Christmas Day. But then on Christmas Eve, we watched a movie called The Nativity Story. And in that, and during that sermon on Christmas Eve, we had everything that Christmas kind of culturally can be right here. We had all these things, Santa and reindeer and all these things piled into this corner about what Christmas means. We had the children come up and we had to remove everything that wasn't in Luke chapter 2 where the real Christmas story is. And the only thing that was left was Mary, Joseph, and baby Jesus. Because Christmas is all about the birth of our Savior. That's it. That's all we need to know. And so why is that so important? Because that birth of our Savior, He is the one. God predicted and shared through Ezekiel that I would give my people a new heart, and that would come through the birth of Jesus. So they answered the Grinch. And then the elf, when it come to true identity, Jesus came to earth born on Christmas Day. He would suffer and die and be resurrected to reconcile us all with God. And that gave us our true identity. Our true identity is we are a holy priesthood, a holy nation. We are God's chosen people, His prized possession. And then that Christmas story about the Red Ryder carbon action 200-shot model air rifle, we shared about John 3:16 that God sent the greatest gift to earth on Christmas Day in Jesus. That Savior that we shared about on Christmas Eve was the answer that we've all been looking for to all those movies. He completes all those issues and all those things that we desire. But there's one more movie we want to cover, and that movie is called The Polar Express. And The Polar Express is in the top five of all grossing movies. And what the whole movie is about is it's about a train and a journey. It's about a train that would go along and pick up children who are starting to become older and not believe in Santa and the North Pole. And it would pick them up and take them on a journey of belief that would arrive eventually at the North Pole. And so I want to set up the first scene here from the movie. In the first scene, the movie centers on the central character of Billy. And this Polar Express train arrives in the middle of the night, this mysterious train, because Billy is starting to not believe. And it picks him up and starts him on his journey. Watch this clip.
Well, you coming? Where?
Why, to the North Pole, of course. This is the Polar Express.
The North Pole?
I see. Hold this, please. Thank you. Is this you?
Yeah.
Well, it says here, no photo with the department store Santa this year. No letter to Santa. And you made your sister put up the milk and cookies. Sounds to me like this is your crucial year. If I were you, I would think about climbing on board. Come on, come on, come on. I've got a schedule to keep... Oh! Suit yourself.
So the central theme to this movie, Polar Express, can be found in your first sermon note. So for our guests, when you walked in, you got a worship guide on the back. There are these sermon notes. So here's the central theme to the Polar Express, and it's found in sermon note number one. And you heard this in the trailer that played before I stepped up here. This was a quote. It said, "There is a place beyond our imagination. To get there, all we have to do is believe." There is a place we cannot imagine. Even the brightest and most creative minds in this room could never come close to this place. And to get there, we need to go on a journey. And that journey will grow our belief. And so I want you to stop and think about this. Every person in this room right now, including me, is on a journey to a destination. And some of us think, no, we've arrived. I got my house. I got my job. Everything's good. I'm in a zone. No, we're on a journey. And we're all heading to a destination. We can't miss this part. And so I'm going to invite up Pastor Art to talk about this journey. And what we've been doing in the Advent series is we've been inviting our children to help us with every sermon. So children, I want you to help us one more time. Come up and help us share about this journey that we're on.
Come on up, guys. Come on up. If you're all the way between, yeah. Not all at once. No, come on up. Looks like it's us, right? Great. Thanks for coming up. High fives. Nice. High fives. Cool. Come on up. So I wonder. Oh, nice. Great. We have some more. Awesome. So how many of you have seen Polar Express? Seen Polar Express before? Okay, yeah? Well, there's the whole thing is speaking about journey. We're going to actually see some clips pretty soon and walk through the whole movie and see some of them and see kind of some of the ways that it's like some of the things that we're talking about with journey. And so, but one of the major things is that there's all these different types of journeys that are going on. And I want to ask one question to you, too. Have you ever been on a roller coaster ride before? Yes? Okay, what were you at?
I was at Silver Dollar City.
Nice. Do you remember what it was called?
Powder Keg.
Okay, nice. Have you been on one before?
Yeah, but I don't remember.
Can't remember the name. Do you remember what it was like? Did they go, fire in the hole? Did they yell that? I remember that one. Awesome. Okay, so you've gone on before. Okay, good. Okay, yes.
We've been on one called Fire in the Hole. That one.
Yeah, that one, when they go, fire the hole. I remember as a kid, I went on that one at Silver Dollar City, too. Yeah, there's been lots of different ones. I remember once my son was on one. It was in Disneyland, and he got super scared because he was kind of too young to be on the ride. But I was not a smart parent then. But one thing I remember doing that we both, when we go on roller coasters, what's a word that you can think of when you're going on a roller coaster? Is there any words that you think of that go through your mind?
Scary.
Scary, right? Super scary sometimes, right? It's like, oh, And when I do this, what's a word you think of when I go like this? Nerves are going crazy. Has anybody ever grabbed your arm or the bar in front of you and like clung to the bar? Have you done that before?
I had a stranger grab my arm. We were sitting in the front seat of this roller coaster in Busch Gardens. It's in Virginia. It went straight down, and we were sitting in the front seat. And I had a stranger reach over and just clench my arm as hard as they could.
There's a lot of meetings that happen sometimes when you're going, you know, when your face is being ripped off. No, not being literally ripped off. Sorry, being literal here. When your face feels like it's being pulled back. Okay, yeah, and you're going down really fast. Yeah. Well, those are things. As adults, you're going along too, if you have your sermon notes, but one of them is this. Our second sermon note is that along our journey, there will be doubt, struggle, and fear. There will be. Sometimes when we talk about journeys, there'll be doubt, struggle, and fear. But one thing that's pretty cool, and I want you to watch this next movie clip, okay? The next movie clip is going to have us in a really kind of a scary place. It's called the Gorge. And there's a moment where they're going to go like a roller coaster. And I want you to watch what the conductor does, how the conductor stands, and what they do when they're on that scary part, okay? They cling, okay? So let's go ahead and head back to our seats while we watch this last clip, okay? This next clip.
We're going pretty fast.
Tell the engineer to slow down.
Ever have days where your journey feels like that? And so, yeah, we're all on this journey, and there's times where that journey can really, really push the buttons on our faith. So how do we endure a journey that's called life together? How do we endure this? And when we go through the ups and downs, how do we not lose faith? And so I think there, let's take a look at sermon note number three. And our children up here give us a hint. But let's look at sermon note number three together. It says, our journey requires childlike faith and boldness. This is how we get through life, with childlike faith and boldness. And the scripture there is Matthew 18, the Gospel of Matthew 18, verses 1 through 4. And I want to read that scripture to you and share that with you here. And here's where Jesus is talking about this kind of faith that gets us through this journey. It says, about that time, the disciples came to Jesus and asked, who is greatest in the kingdom of heaven? And Jesus called a little child to him, and he put the child among them. And then he said, I tell you the truth, unless you turn from your sins and become like little children, you will never get into the kingdom of heaven. So anyone who becomes as humble as this little child is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. And so what was happening here is Jesus was hanging out with the disciples, and the disciples are like, we're with the king. This guy's going to take over the world, and we're with him. So like they're starting to talk about which one of us is going to be greatest when we get into heaven. And Jesus says, you guys are thinking like the world. You're not thinking like you're supposed to be thinking. And so he grabs the child and puts the child right in the middle of him. He says, we're on this journey. And he says, if you want to get to the destination, which is the kingdom of heaven, he said, the first thing we need to do is turn away from our sin. And the second thing we need to do is have a faith like this little child's. Now, this scripture verse can get taken out of context quite a bit. It's not saying our faith is not childish. And it's not saying our faith is going to be limited like a child's. But Jesus says there's something in this child that we all need. You see, a childlike faith is a faith. If I'm a child, my faith in my parents, I trust them. You think about this in children. I trust my parents unequivocally until I'm 16. Then it changes. But before that, I depend on my parents. I depend on them every day. I just have this easy dependence on them. I have forgiveness like a child. You notice how easy it is for children to forgive and move past? And I have a love like a child that's innocent. You notice their love is so close to unconditional? And children are teachable. And so Jesus is telling his disciples, look at these children. He says, if you can trust God like that, if you can depend on God like that, if you can forgive as God has called you to forgive, if you can love like God loves, and if you stay teachable, all that boils down to one word, humble. He's telling us to be humble, have the humility of a child. All those things comprise what humility is. That's what we need on this journey, is to trust God. Love like that, forgive like that, be teachable the whole time. But the problem is we become adults. We get this thing called ambition, and we get this thing called pride. And next thing we know, we're conquering the world, and I got this, I got my job, I got my house, I'm rocking and rolling in life, I become more dependent on me. And then all of a sudden I start going through those parts of the journey that are just like that movie clip, and what happens to my faith when I'm relying on me? My faith starts, I start to lose it. But a childlike faith endures, it trusts, it depends on God to get us to the end of that journey. And today, in this culture, that childlike faith requires boldness. That's this whole movie, Polar Express, has a significant boldness. There's a tension in the movie the whole time, the boldness of these children. So, we get on this journey, right? And you saw the roller coaster ride, but the pinnacle, the apex of the movie, the best part, the most exciting part is when the train, the Polar Express, arrives at the North Pole. And the North Pole is everything the children dreamed of. Watch this clip.
And do you see those lights in the distance? They look like the lights of a strange ocean liner sailing on a frozen sea. There is the North Pole. We'll be right back.
In the movie, the end of the belief, the children believing, arrived them at the North Pole, and that was the end of their journey. But for Christians, the journey that we're all on, the destination that we're hoping to go to, is eternity. And it's exactly what Jesus described as the kingdom of heaven. That is our destination. And behind the real Christmas story, the birth of Jesus, his death and resurrection, because of that, we all begin a new journey. And that journey is for those who believe. And for those who believe, the place we are going is beyond our imagination. Again, there's not a person in this room that can hold a candle or begin to imagine what is at the end of our destination. But that journey is not an ending. It's a new beginning for us all. So when we look at scripture verse, I want to look at John 14, 1 through 6. And this is Jesus explaining, while we're on this journey, what he's doing right now. And in this scripture, Jesus had just told his disciples that he was going to go to the cross. And they were troubled. They were hurting. It's like, hold on a second, this is our king, this is our savior. This is not how this is supposed to end. And this is what Jesus tells them. He says, don't let your hearts be troubled. Trust in God. There's that word again. And also trust in me. There is more than enough room in my Father's home. If this were not so, would I have told you that I'm going to prepare a place for you? And when everything is ready, I will come and get you so that you will always be with me where I am. And you know the way to where I'm going. No, we don't know, Lord. Thomas, his disciple, said, we have no idea where you're going. So how can we know the way? And Jesus told him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father. No one comes to the kingdom of heaven. No one gets to that end destination except through me. And what does this place look like? 1 Corinthians 2:9 tells us, no eye has seen, no ear has heard, and no mind has imagined what God has prepared for those who love him. That's where Jesus is right now, preparing a room for you and me, and he's coming back. Jesus describes this destination of our journey as a place where he is right now preparing a place for us, and we can't begin to imagine it. Jesus reminds us that he is the only way. He is the only path. Ladies and gentlemen, he is the only train that is going to this destination. When do we get to the end of this journey and this destination? Jesus tells us. He says, I'm going to come back and I'm going to get you. So Advent, we celebrate Advent for two reasons. Advent means coming. We celebrate the first coming of Jesus. He came on that very first Christmas. God on earth, Emmanuel. But Advent, we also celebrate the second coming. And so we had this blizzard mess with our whole Advent schedule. We missed a Sunday and we're a week off. And so we already celebrate Christmas. Normally Advent ends on Christmas Day. But no, now we get an extra week so we can talk about he's coming back. And that's the second thing that we need to celebrate in Advent. And this is a perfect day to do this. I think God worked it out just great. He's in a blizzard just for this reason. And we can talk about the second coming. So here's three important facts to know about when Jesus is coming back. The first is it will be much different than how he left the earth. And Matthew, all these scriptures are out of Matthew 24. Go home and read Matthew 24. It's a brilliant chapter that talks about our destination and where we're going. But this is what Matthew 24, 30b says. It says, "And they will see the Son of Man coming on the clouds of heaven with power and great glory." You see, Jesus came to earth, as we celebrated on Tuesday, in a manger, lowly, humble. And I said there was even a lower position. He finished his life on earth on the cross. He came in humility. But ladies and gentlemen, he's coming back. And God has given him all power and all glory and all authority. We were created through Jesus. He will judge and sit and reward. He has that power and authority, much different than he left. Second thing that's important about his return is every person, all 7 billion, if it happens today, will see and hear this. Matthew 24, 31. "And he will send out his angels," it says, "and Jesus will send out his angels with a mighty blast of a trumpet. And they will gather his chosen ones from all over the world, from the farthest ends of earth and heaven." When Jesus comes back, nobody misses it. Nobody on the entire planet will fail to see it or hear it. Revelation 1:7 reminds us that. It says, every eye will see him. And Philippians 2 tells us this. It says, "Therefore God elevated Jesus to the highest place of honor and gave him the name above all other names. And at the name of Jesus, every knee will bow." Every knee, even those who don't believe that day, will bow. "In heaven and earth and under earth, and every tongue declare that Jesus Christ is Lord, and the glory of God the Father." Everybody will see it. Everybody will hear it. Everybody will bow. Third thing is we don't know when. This one drives us nuts. We don't know when. Matthew 24, 36, it says, "However, no one knows the day or hour when these things will happen. Not even the angels in heaven or the Son himself. Only the Father knows when he's coming back. But know this, he's preparing a place right now. But we don't know. It can happen before supper tonight. Are you ready? Are we ready? Are we on the right journey? Are we on the right train? One thing that I wanted to be careful about was being critical about the movies, because they're fantasy and they're, you know. But there was a quote in this movie that I want to address, because it's really popular culture today. And this was a quote of the movie. And this was a conductor on the train of the Polar Express. He said, "One thing about trains, it doesn't matter where they're going. It just matters that you decide to get on." That's wrong. It's such a common thought in our culture that there's many trains that we can board. We can board any of these trains for our journey. All that matters is getting on one. From a biblical standpoint, there are only two trains that we get on. And so let's look at sermon note number 4 together. We'll wrap it up with sermon note number 4. There are two journeys. Our choice of the journey is seen in how we live. There are only two trains. There are only two journeys, metaphorically. One train is faith in ourselves. It's trust in ourselves. It's faith in the world, and it's living life for this here and now. And that train ends in a journey of destruction. I'll be really clear on this. But there's a second train, and that train is faith in Jesus, and the one who came to save us, who reconciled us, who gave us a new heart, a new identity, the greatest gift we ever got. All we have to do is believe and get on that train, and that train goes to the kingdom of heaven. And all we need to do is have childlike faith. And what's so important here is there's churches are full of people who believe or think they believe in who Jesus is, but they never live a life that shows it. Churches have a lot of people in here who believe, but that is a head knowledge. It never moves to a transformational change, and they really live like They know God and the Son who saved them. So the big question today is, what train are we on? There's only two. Ushers, would you come forward, please, for the offering? The Polar Express in the movie was on a time schedule. You guys are familiar with express trains, express buses, or express flights, right? They have minimal stops. They got to get to that destination as soon as possible. And sometimes in our Christianity, we, you know, people say, it's like, I don't know how to take this comment because it's both, it's right. They said, man, I wish Jesus would come back today. I do too. But when I look at 4 billion people who don't know him, I don't want him to come back today. I don't want to be on that express train of getting us to heaven right now when there's so many people that don't know him. Express trains have minimal to no stops, but when we're aboard the right train, it is not an express train. The train we're on should stop all the time and pick up those who need to be on the train. In the movie, there's this scene, it's really early in the movie, where after it picks up Billy, it gets to the other side of town across the tracks, as we would say, and it makes a stop. Watch this clip.
We're heading for the other side of the tracks.
Christmas may not be important to some people, but it is very important to the rest of us.
But, he was just trying to stop the train so that kid could get on.
I see. Young man, is that what happened? Well, let me remind you. We are on a very tight schedule. And I've never been late before, and I am certainly not going to be late.
As a Christian, don't believe for a moment that the train that we're on is an express train. There are so many we will pass on our journey that need to be on this train. Pull the emergency brake on your life. Stop your train. Help those on board. Walk with them. Disciple them. Art and I were talking about this part of the sermon. He used this phrase. I loved it. Inconvenienced for the gospel. He said that should be a value of every church. I think it should be our core value. I think we're going to write that in our core values. That we're ready at any time to be inconvenienced and pull the emergency brake of our lives to get other people on board. Our vision of our church is be bold. That means grip on, just like on that train like the kids did. Grip, cling. This journey is going to be up and down, but be bold. Don't get off. Our vision is love loud. That means pull the brake when we need to pull the brake and help others on. And our vision is engage deeply. Walk with somebody as long as it takes. Help them. on this journey of belief. To some of us here today, we need to get on the right train. We've never made that decision, and we didn't realize till today that we're on the wrong train. There's a movie quote right at the front, in case you caught it. So the conductor looks at him, and he looks at Billy, and he says, "Sounds to me like this is your crucial year. If I were you, I would think about climbing on board." If you're on that wrong train, this is your crucial day. Get off that train. Come join this train. The train that we have because of Jesus. And if you need the first steps about that journey and getting on that train, right after this service, we have a meet and greet for all of our new folks who are coming here. But if you're like, "I'm ready to get off this train," I want you to just come right over underneath the cross and share with us, "Would you walk with me? I'm ready to get on the right train." And we would love to. And we'll start walking with you. So today is the day we climb on the right train. So let's get on that right train, and let's tell everybody about it. Should we go tell it on the mountain? Let's go tell us on the mountain.
Stand with us.